I feel a little uncomfortable. This is the first time I've had a suit on in 3.5 years. We just don't wear them over there. It's, 100 degrees, so there's no real need to wear a suit. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like to look at Psalms chapter 23. My name is Jim White, obviously. I did spend about 1.5 years here in this town, and then my folks moved down to Franklinville, and so that's where I moved and grew up on a small little farm there, graduated, and then moved back down to Jacksonville, Florida, to the same church that I was saved at the age of 4, and the same church that I felt burdened to go into missions around the age of 8. And so I went to a little Bible college down there. A couple years later, I started deputation. When I finished that, I went up to Quebec City and studied French. And then about 3.5 years ago, I went over to Togo, West Africa, and started working with the Africans over there. And it was really eye-opening. It was absolutely incredible. Pastor asked me to speak on Thanksgiving, and you get in one of those countries and you start living there and you really realize how much you have to be thankful for. I went to a little orphanage, and there was 40 children there. And I went to visit. There was a group that came over, so I took them in there, and we sang some songs, and we did a Bible lesson, and we played some games. And the orphans range from the age of about 3 or 4 all the way up to about 22 years old. And I had one girl about 16 years old. She came up to me, and there was 4 bedrooms for 30 or 40 of these kids, and there was only 1 mattress in the whole place. The rest of them all slept on cement floors with just this little thin Muslim prayer mat. And this girl walks up to me and she says, I want to know if you'll help me. I said, well, what do you need? And she goes, will you buy me a mattress? She goes, I want to sleep on a mattress. And I knew in my heart that if I bought her one, that I'd be obligated to buy everybody else one. And I didn't have enough money to buy everybody a mattress. So I just had to tell her that I couldn't help her. And, things like that will really put it into perspective. I don't know about, I'm assuming everybody in this church will go home tonight and crawl into a nice comfortable bed, pull a nice warm blanket over you and go to sleep. And yet there's little kids, sleeping just a couple blocks from my house with no screen on their windows, mosquitoes all over them, malaria running rampant, sleeping on a cement floor, wondering where the next meal is going to come from. I'm not trying to break your heart, but what I'm trying to remind you of is we really live in a blessed nation, and we really do have a great God, and we really do have a lot to be thankful for. I want to thank you for the opportunity to be your missionary in Togo. You folks have supported me, I don't know how many years now, 4, maybe 5, maybe even 6, I'm not really sure. I'm excited about the possibility of in the future a couple of you folks coming out to visit, to see the work in Togo. About 9 months ago, I had the privilege to take over a small little village church. The pastor had to step down, and there was a vacancy, and there was nobody to fill it. So I started working in this small little church, and it's really exciting. It's a different place. When I say village, I really mean like National Geographic-type village place. I mean, I don't know that I can even say some of what I've seen and done and been from the pulpit, but it's pretty amazing. We have a small little church building that has tin roof, thatch walls, dirt floor. Got a little tin door that's got a lock on it. I don't know why the lock's on there because it doesn't even work. We've got little wooden benches in there, and I went back in March, and I went with a young lady that was working there with the children. We really started praying. We started going visiting every Saturday, inviting people to come to church. And by the grace of God, it had nothing to do with us. It just was a movement of God. We were able to see about 45 to 50 people saved since March, and just a couple weeks ago, we were able to baptize 4 men out of the church. And so it's been really exciting to see how God's been working there, how people have been growing, how people have been getting saved. And so I want you to know that you've all had a part in that. When you give to missions, you help missionaries like me to spread the gospel, and I want you to know that I honestly believe with all my heart that that will be added to your account, and when you get to heaven one day, you'll be able to have an opportunity to meet those people that through your financial aid and through your prayers came to the Lord. Psalms 23, I've never really preached out of it. I've read it 1,000 times. It's, well, maybe not 1,000, but many times. It's one of those passages that is well memorized, well recited. People know it right and left, and I want to try to look at it from a new perspective this evening. If you'll look at Psalms chapter 23, we'll begin in verse 1. And it's funny, in Africa, you just point at some man in the church and he reads the whole thing for you. But here, I guess I'll have to do my own work for myself. Psalms chapter 23, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this evening. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be able to come to your house and to have fellowship, and then to sing and to lift up your name and to glorify you, and then to spend some time in your word, the living book. Dear God, I pray that you would move upon this place this evening. Lord, I pray that you'd bind the hands of Satan and his demons. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would move throughout this building, that he'd move from seat to seat, pew to pew, and person to person. Dear God, I do pray that if there's somebody that's visiting with us tonight that's not 100% sure that they're on their way to heaven, dear God, I pray that you'd convict them tonight. I pray that you'd help them to realize that Jesus is the way, the life. Lord, they need to turn to him and they need to accept you. Dear God, I pray that you'd work in their hearts. I pray that you'd bless tonight. Lord, I pray that you would glorify your servant so that your servant might in turn glorify you. I pray that you would use me tonight. Bind my tongue and only allow me to say the things that you'd have me to say. Fill me with thine Holy Spirit. And I pray these things in your name. Amen. You know, the Bible starts out right here. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." David writes this, and we're not really sure when David is writing this. We're not sure if he is about to go up against Goliath. We're not sure if he's writing it in his old age when he's got all this wisdom upon himself, and then he's penning this letter. But what we do know is that David is writing this, and he had an intimate relationship with God. And he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And so tonight I want to look at this passage from the perspective of God being our shepherd. And in that, what do we have to be thankful for? I don't believe that I'm stretching it or taking it out of context by looking at it from this direction. The Lord is my shepherd. And the first thing I want us to notice is in verse 1, God provides for us when he's our shepherd. We can be thankful that God provides for us. Look at the end. It says, "I shall not want." This is God the shepherd, and we are his sheep. So if he is the shepherd and we are the sheep, then we are to be following him, to be obeying him, and we are to follow his direction and his leadership in our lives. The word Lord here is the interesting word. It's Jehovah. And if you know the word Jehovah, it means the one that was, the one that is, and the one that is to come. So when David said, "The Lord is my shepherd," what he's saying is the eternal God, the God that was here before us, the God that is with us now, and the God that will be for all of eternity, the creator of the entire universe, this is my shepherd. This is the one that's providing for me. You know, if you're struggling with life, and, you know, many of us do, there's so many decisions in life to make, and we worry about the paychecks, and in this type of economy, don't think because I'm a missionary I don't understand. I mean, you know, yes, I haven't been here for 3 years, but, you know, I have to trust in God like the rest of us, and my life revolves around money like yours does as well. And so I understand the concept of understanding a paycheck and understanding X amount of money has to come in to be able to pay these bills. But ultimately, when we realize that God is in control, that God is our provider, then there's such a peace that will pass over us. And we can realize that God is in control. I was telling an African a little while ago, I said, an African, they're all African, but a Togolese man, I was talking to him, he was a pastor, I was trying to encourage him. I said, "Philippe, you know, the other day I was laying on my bed trying to go to sleep, and I was tossing and turning, and I started thinking about going back to America and things that I need to get for the return to Africa, and I started adding up financial costs, and then I started thinking about my personal budget, and I started thinking about the income, and then I started getting anxiety in my bed, started tossing and turning. I started thinking, there's no way that I'm going to be able to get this. And then I stopped, I paused, I thought, this isn't up to me. This is God's problem. This is something that I need to put in God's hand. I can worry about it all day long and still at the end of the day not solve this problem. Or right now, right here, at this moment, I can give it to God and then he'll take care of it for me. And so that's what I did. And I'm telling you, I slept pretty good that night. I gave it to God. God is our provider. He provides for us. So, you know, we have something to be thankful for, that God is our provider. But look at verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. God guides us. God leads us. If you're a believer in Christ, then you are in that royal family. That means that you have the ability, you have the right, you have the opportunity and the access to approach the throne of God anytime you want. And with that, you have to realize that God is in complete control of our lives and that he is trying to guide us, that he is trying to lead us, but we have to submit unto that. You know, coming back from Africa, I just touched down, I think it was Friday night. I traveled 12 hours by car to get to the airport. And then the next day, I got on a plane and flew for, I think it was 6.5 hours to London, had a 7-hour layover there, and then another 8.5 hours into Atlanta. So it was kind of a long flight, kind of a long 24 hours, didn't sleep much. But I got into London, I had 7 hours layover, so I contacted a buddy there and I said, hey, why don't you take off work on your own dime, come to the airport, and we'll take the subway, the underground, and we'll just explore for a little bit. And I, you know, I didn't know what I was getting into myself, or in, myself into. I spent 2.5 hours on the subway out of that 7 hours, so it wasn't really the greatest adventure I'd ever had. But the great thing about my friend is he's from England. He's from London. So I went with him, and I just followed him. I had no idea where we were going. I knew where we were going to end up, but I didn't know where we were going. So basically, you know, we got on the bus or on the train, and we started going, and then he would say, okay, it's time to get off. So we got off, and I just kind of followed him up some stairs and turned a corner. I had no clue where we were in London. I knew we rode that thing for a long time, but I wasn't sure where we were. You know what was neat was I didn't worry at all. I knew he was in charge. I knew that he could guide me to where we needed to go. He knew the area. He had the plan laid out. He knew the destination. I knew the destination. But he had the plan all mapped out for me. You know, the reality is God has our lives mapped out for us. We know the destination, but sometimes we don't know what takes place between point A and point B. And so we worry, and we struggle with that. But if you realize who God is, and you realize that he is your Savior, then you'll realize that he is your guide, and he is your leader. And so when David says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters, you have to realize that's the image of a sheep that doesn't really know where he's going. The shepherd's leading him through these desert places where there is no food and there is no water, and it's a time of drought and it's a time of struggle. Isn't that what happens sometimes in our lives? We go through those moments of doubt, those moments of struggle. But you know what? The shepherd's got a plan. And so that shepherd's drawing the sheep to the ultimate place of rest, to that ultimate place where they can find nourishment, where they can find strength. Look over at verse 3. I'll hurry. I've got 9 points. I doubt I'm going to make it through it. I've never written a message with more than 3 points. But I was like, yeah, I'm going to get through this tonight. I'm not sure it's going to happen. Point 3. God being our shepherd, he restores us. Look at verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, oftentimes in our lives, we come to these points where there's a trial or there's a testing. And you know, so many times we see two things. We either see people when something difficult comes in their life, they'll either reject God and become bitter, or they'll embrace God, embrace the situation, and they grow spiritually from it. And so what we have to realize is that these are a fact of life. We're going to go through these difficult moments. But it's God that's going to bring restoration to our lives. There's two points of rest. There's a daily rest that we can have, or periodic rest, depending on how often you have it. Spiritual rest. That's when you get into the Word of God and you're praying and you're seeking God. There's a certain peace that comes over your soul. There's a certain rest that you have spiritually when you seek God. The second type of rest is eternal rest. You can only have eternal rest if you know Jesus Christ personally. One of my favorite things to do, and I know it's so hokey, but I'll pull out my cell phone, and hopefully the Africans aren't too distracted by what the cell phone looks like. And I'll ask them, I'll say, do you know who, oh man, I forgot to turn on my microphone. Sorry. Hang on. Bear with me. All right, there we go. We're on. So I'll take the mic, or not the mic, the cell phone, and I'll have a microphone. I'll ask them, I'll say, do you know who the president of Togo is? And they're like, oh yeah, yeah, I know who the president is. I said, really? Do you know him well? And they're like, yeah. And so I take my cell phone and I hand it to him. I say, will you call him for me? Oh, I don't know him like that. Well, the truth is, there's many people who say, I know God, or I know Christ, but they don't know him personally. They don't have that personal relationship with him. Well, only with that personal relationship comes that eternal rest. Comes that eternal restoration. And so David sat here with confidence, and he said, the Lord, the eternal God, the shepherd, he restoreth my soul. When I'm weary, when I'm hungry, when I'm going through a trial, when I'm struggling, it's in God alone that I find my strength. It is so easy, and it's so human nature, that when things get difficult, for us to just rely on ourselves, isn't it? Isn't it more easy to open up the checkbook and start figuring out the finances than it is to get on our knees and pray? It really, really is. But when you realize who God is, then you realize what God can do for you, what God wants to do through you. Look with me. I'm thinking half in French right now. Look with me at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The shepherd, he protects us. I thought it was an interesting thought here. It says, the valley of the shadow of death. When's the last time a shadow ever hurt anybody? It doesn't say, yea, though I walk through the valley of death. It says, through the shadow of the valley of death. You know, sometimes we think our problems are a lot bigger than they really are, but it's just a shadow. God's in control. He is protecting us. We need to remember that. We need to be thankful that we have a shepherd watching after us, restoring us, protecting us, guiding us. The fifth thing is he comforts us. Man, I don't know how much of the story I can tell, but my friend just texted me. It's the same guy who drove me down to Accra. He got malaria on his way back home. So he said he was sick as a dog. I don't know how to explain malaria to you, but I mean, you just kind of feel like you want to roll over and die. So, and that's how it is for a couple days till the medicine kicks in and you start feeling better. And the past couple days, his wife and his six-year-old son have just been at his side comforting him. You know, you never really appreciate certain things until you don't have it anymore. When you get sick, then all of a sudden you appreciate your health, don't you? You know, when you have to separate from your spouse, then all of a sudden you realize how much you appreciate him. Or when you send a kid off to college, then all of a sudden after the partying, you realize how much you really do miss them. That was a joke. The truth, though, is we sometimes forget how important things are until we're missing them. So we need to be thankful. We need to constantly be reminded of the goodness of God. Let me skip ahead to the next. He elevates us. Look at verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So David, what he's talking about is God giving him a special place, a protected place, and a safe place. Here God is pulling out David, and he's preparing a special place just for him. He's elevating him to a special place. And if you realize tonight, if you are a believer, that you have been elevated to a special place. You are not a child of the world. You are a child of God. You are not an ambassador of the world. You are an ambassador of God, and you must act like it. You are in a special elevated position, and with that position comes responsibility, but also comes the goodness of God. So here we see that God elevates us. The next thing is he anoints us. Look at the second part of verse 5. Thou anointest my head with oil. You know, it's interesting, in the Old Testament we'd see, and David himself was anointed, that the anointing oil was brought in and it was poured or versed over the head of a man, and it was showing that they were handpicked, hand-chosen, hand-selected by God himself to do something for him. And so David says here that thou hast anointed my head with oil. Do you realize that God has anointed every one of his children for a specific task? If you don't know what your task is in life, you really need to seek God's face. My uncle, I don't know where he is tonight, but he was asking me about Africa. He said, do you really like it over there? He wants to know, are you struggling? Do you really enjoy it? You know, is it where you want to be the rest of your life? And I told him, I said, I really enjoy being in the center of God's will. How many people like their jobs? Oh, wow, three people. Awesome. All right, well, listen, the truth is sometimes you like your job, sometimes you don't like your job. Is that true or not? Okay, that's just reality. Admissions is the same way. I'm going to be honest with you. There are certain days where I'm like, I cannot believe that God has given me the privilege to be here. Then there's other days where I want to pull out all my hair and just... Yeah, I know, another corny joke. There's other days where you're just utterly frustrated and you just want to walk away and go home. But you know what? God has anointed us for a task. The next thing, he blesses us. Isn't that amazing that God blesses us? It's so awesome. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to give us anything, but he does. Look at the end of verse 5. He says, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He says, the goodness of God is so much in my life that it's just overpouring. God has done so much for us. Here's another sob story. I looked over at a pastor and we were talking about milk. I don't know how many people like milk in here. If you want milk, you could probably go across the street to the gas station tonight and get it for less than a buck. I'm not sure. Maybe not. I don't know. It's been 3 years. Maybe less than 10 bucks. I don't know. Anyways, in Africa, they sell powdered milk. And I was talking to the pastor, and he says, yeah, a couple times a year, especially around Christmas time, I like to get a little sachet, a little packet of powdered milk, and I like to mix it up in water. And I like to give my daughter a glass of milk as a special treat. Unfathomable, isn't it? I mean, according to our government, cheese, milk, bread, and eggs are essential. If you can't afford it, our government gives that to you for your children. And here he is, you know, every once in a while I like to save up my francs, and I like to buy my kids some milk. We are so blessed. We are absolutely blessed with what God has given us. And sometimes we forget truly how blessed we are. And so tonight, as we're coming up onto the precipice of Thanksgiving, probably the greatest thing that we can do is remember, first and foremost, that God loved us so much that he gave us Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't have to come. Jesus didn't have to die. Jesus didn't have to sacrifice himself, but he chose to because he loved us. And with his love came a great sacrifice, a great cost. But because of that, we have salvation. If you could be thankful for nothing else, to know that if you were to slip out into eternity tonight, that you would be in the presence of God for all of eternity, That's enough. We need to remember that God is our shepherd. Finally tonight, in closing, he keeps us. Security. He keeps us. Look at the end of verse 6. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It says, I will. Do you know what tense that is? That's a future tense. Excellent. We got an English teacher this evening. It is the future tense. I will dwell. It's not conditional. It is a promise here. If I tell you, I will give you $100 if you come up after church and shake my hand. Will you come up and shake my hand? Oh, yeah. You want that $100 and you want to shake my hand, I'm sure. Listen, David said, I will dwell. He knew unequivocally that he had a place in heaven. Why? Because God keeps his children. The shepherd protects his sheep. The Bible says that the shepherd will leave his 99 sheep to seek that one sheep. Now, the other side of that is if you're a Christian and you're running from God and you're doing your own thing, you have to remember that God still loves you enough that he's going to come after you. I don't have children. I've never been married. But I remember the beatings that my dad used to give me. I mean, they weren't beatings, but, you know, the spankings, the punishment, the chastisement that he gave me. Why did he give me that? Because I was going off on my own, doing things that weren't right. And he loved me enough to try to bring me back and set me on the right path again. If my dad is that good to me, what is God to us? If you're running from God, if you're living a half-flippant Christian life, doing whatever you want to do, and you're just a dedicated Sunday Christian, I want you to know that there's so much more in life. Really, it's kind of like straddling the fence when you do that. And what did the Bible say, the book of Revelation? Isn't it better to be hot or cold rather than lukewarm? Don't straddle the fence. Get all in. Don't get all out. Get all in. The promise here is that he will dwell. The place here is the house of the Lord or heaven. And notice the duration. What are the last two words? Forever. Man, you want to get excited. You want to be thankful for something. Just really think about who the shepherd is and what he's doing for us. He saved me. He protects me. He guides me. He leads me. He's exalted me. He's anointed me. He's given me a special task in life. And furthermore, he keeps me eternal security, and he's given me a place in heaven. If I die tonight, I know where I'm going to be. Do you know where you're going to be? Can you honestly be thankful tonight that you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you so much for the book of Psalms, and especially tonight for Psalms 23. Dear God, I'm so thankful that you are the eternal God, the one that was before, the one that is, and the one that will be. Dear God, I'm so thankful for my salvation. I'm so thankful for Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross for my sins. Lord, I'm so thankful that you are the great shepherd. I'm so thankful that you have saved my soul, and that with that salvation, I have all that protection and the guidance, and furthermore, you keep me. Dear God, I pray that you would help us all, not just me, to be thankful for what we truly have, physically, but also spiritually through you, Jesus. Dear God, I pray that if there's somebody here that's not saved tonight, dear God, I pray that you would work in their heart. I plead that you would convict their heart. I beg that you'd give them clarity and help them to understand the decision that they need to make. And dear God, I pray that they would not leave this building tonight without knowing 100% sure that they're saved. I pray these things in your name. Amen. Pastor.